My subject today is gifts a father can give on Father's Day. My text is from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John on page 939, if you'd like to follow me. And I will begin reading at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Thanks be to God for this word of truth. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I've just finished reading a very inspiring book. Its title is Ten Commandments for Grandparents by Carl Waller Kruger. A section of that book should be read by every parent in America. It paints the picture of the context of reality in which children today are growing up, in which teenagers are dealing with every day of their lives. Here are a few of the findings that we ought to think about. First, the use of drugs. 90% of high school seniors have used illicit drugs. Over 65% of them on a monthly basis. The most abused substance is alcohol, followed by marijuana and cocaine. Two, youth killers. From age 15 to 19, more young people are killed in motor vehicle accidents than any other cause, followed by suicide and homicide, and many are drug related. Three, violent crime. Because of the growing prevalence of gangs, and if you've read the paper recently, you see that that is a growing problem here in Atlanta. In the urban environment, because of the growing problem of gangs, many young people today are subject to violent crimes. Only better neighborhoods will have any appreciable effect on this reality. School dropouts. About 14% of our children still do not finish high school. The percentages are much higher than that in some ethnic groups. Today's high school dropout is a high potential for tomorrow's street person, a homeless person, or an individual who will be dependent upon society to keep body and soul together. School behavior. 67% of the school teachers of America note that behavior disruption in the classroom has been substantially increased. More time is taken in the classroom today for discipline than ever before, which means less time for teaching. Homework and television. In a special study, it was discovered that 43% of fourth graders did less than 1 hour of homework each day while watching 5 hours of television daily. 30% look at 6 hours of television each day. Unwed mothers, but the birth rate to unmarried teens has more than tripled since 1950. Working mothers, 57% of married women with children are now working outside of the home. The number of children now affected by divorce is 1.1 million per year. 35% of high school seniors attend religious services weekly, 50% attend rarely or never. Youth attendance has been declining each year for the last 10 years. 60% of youth say that religion is important, but the data indicates they are not acting upon that conviction, so one wonders. Surveys show that when parents attend religious services, children are likely to follow suit. Values. As to their values, a large number of young people say they want a happy home, a steady job, sufficient money for extras. Note, however, that every time this survey is taken, that the desire for more money increases as a felt desire. Young people have obviously bought into the materialism that we are modeling. It is into that context of reality that we celebrate Father's Day 1991. It has always been a great challenge to be a parent. Today is a very challenging time to be a parent. Alvin Toffler has said that parenthood remains the greatest single preserve of the amateur. Parenting is on-the-job training. That is more and today, thank God, there is more and more a focus on the nurturing role of the father. More emphasis is being placed today on the role of the father than ever before, and I think that's good. There is more and more recognition of the basis that a father-dominated family is a family with problems, but a father-led family is a happy family. Fathers, men, there is a vast difference between being a domineering father and a father who leads. Into this context of reality, on this Father's Day, we have as our text one of the great passages of the Bible. In our morning lesson, we are told by our Lord that he loves us as God has loved him. Then he instructs us to live within his love. Then he tells us to love one another as he has loved us. It's not an easy way of loving. It's a way of loving that requires sacrifice and obedience. And then he tells us that we are his friends, not his servants, are his slaves. And as evidence of his friendship, he has confided in us. Here's how he puts it. You are my friends, proved by the fact that I have told you everything that the Father told me. Now, there are so many things that stimulate the mind and challenge the will in this passage as we seek to reach for the ideals expressed here. It is a matter of reality that our most powerful witness as Christians is the manner in which we are able to love one another. For 20 years, I have said to the staff of our church that our greatest collective and individual witness to this congregation is to model, to demonstrate how a diverse, unique group of talented individuals can live together, work together, plan together, minister to all of our people together, and to show simultaneously that we genuinely love one another. And I can tell you that during all of these 20 years that I have spent here, that the staff family has come to be a larger family of love for me. I've always been moved by what Chesterton said of St. Francis of Assisi when he wrote the story of his life. He said what gave him that extraordinary personal power was this, that from pope to beggar, from sultan in his pavilion to the ragged robbers crawling out of the wood, there was never a man who looked into the brown eyes of St. Francis without being certain that Francis was really interested in him. Now, why do you suppose that was true? It was because the person encountering St. Francis just knew that he or she was being genuinely loved by that man, that St. Francis was interested in them. Chesterton then proclaimed that the joy that arises from being loved and being loving is, quote, the gigantic secret of being a Christian. The gigantic secret of being a Christian. The joy of being loved and the joy of practicing love. And I think he's right. When Malcolm Muggeridge, a brilliant man of the world, somewhat cynical, first encountered Mother Teresa in Calcutta and observed her as she moved among the deprived, the destitute, the dying, he tried to explain what it was about her. He called it a, quote, luminous quality. And that quality eventually led him to make a profession of faith in Christ. And the quality that was luminous was the quality of her loving. Now, the words of our text today are very plain and unambiguous. This is my commandment, that you love one another. What would really happen if we did that? What would really happen if we did that? What would happen on the parking lot of this church on Sunday morning if we did that? I've heard more horror stories lately about our parking lot. If you're waiting for a parking place and somebody drives in ahead of you instead of swearing, what would happen if you said, I am so glad you got that place to park. I was hoping you would see it. Somebody told me about some rude, loutish fellow leaping ahead of them to get on one of the express buses. What would have happened if the person who had been treated so rudely had said, thank God you were able to get on the bus so quickly, for it's so hot out here and so cool inside the bus? What would really happen if we began to practice that kind of love? And what better day to begin that than on Father's Day? Someone has said that the Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, except the gift is cheaper. In most of our homes, gifts are given on Father's Day. And many fathers spend the next 3 or 4 days taking them back to get something that matches. To me, the fact of being a father has been a gift. I really feel like General Douglas MacArthur, who said, by profession I am a soldier and I take pride in that, but I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. And today I want to suggest that every father present think not of gifts you may receive today, but of gifts that we can give as fathers, not only on Father's Day, but every day to our children and to our families. We can give them some gifts that can never be broken, gifts that can become more and more valuable with the passing of time. I would suggest, first of all, that you give your children on Father's Day and every day the gift of loving their mother. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Loving one another includes your wife, the mother of your children. I want today to give you the golden rule of being a father and a husband. Do unto your wife as you would have your children do unto others. Listen, fathers, what you model in loving care of your spouse and your treatment of her, your children are going to model in their relationships. Listen, mothers, how you love your husband, your children will model. It is obvious that children learn how to love from how their parents love. A mother preparing a special dinner was being driven absolutely to distraction by a 4-year-old. At one point, the little boy ran through the kitchen, caught the edge of the tablecloth, knocked all of the place settings into the floor. The mother grabbed a small switch and chased the child, who ran outside and ran underneath the porch of the house. Still in hot pursuit, the mother got on her hands and knees and began crawling under the porch after him, realizing how ridiculous that must look if a neighbor came by. She decided to let her husband handle it all when he came home. When the father came home, she said, you've got to do something about our son, your son. Go outside and discipline him. He's under the front porch. The father crawled out, went outside, dropped on his knees, crawled beneath the house, finally saw two little bright eyes back in the dim darkness, and a small voice said, "Daddy, is she after you too?" Now, parents must love each other. And that's a gift every father can give on Father's Day. Love the mother of your children. Thomas Carlyle once said, "Be what you would have your pupils be." Parents, be what you want your children to be, and it begins with loving one another. Parents who express their love outwardly in front of their children in genuine ways build security and confidence. More than 50 years ago, this poem was published in the newspapers. Two lovers walking down the street. She trips, he murmurs, "Careful, sweet, now wed," they tread the self same street. She trips, he growls, "Pick up your big feet." Isn't that more often than not the way? Jules Pfeiffer said, "I grew up to have my father's looks, my father's speech patterns, my father's posture, my father's walk, my father's opinions, and my mother's contempt for my father." Joseph Joubert said, "Children need models more than they need critics." Who hasn't nodded in agreement with Dorothy Nolte's famous words? If a child lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If they live with hostility, they learn to fight. With ridicule, they learn to be shy. With shame, they learn to feel guilty. With tolerance, they learn to be patient. With encouragement, they learn to learn confidence. With praise, they learn to appreciate. With fairness, they learn justice. With security, they learn to have faith. With approval, they learn to like themselves. With acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love for themselves in the world. On Father's Day, give your children the gift of loving their mother. And then secondly, dads, on Father's Day, love your children unconditionally, not only on Father's Day, but every day. Jesus said that we are to love one another. How? As I have loved you. And he didn't love us if, or love us but it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. That is our objective. To free our children in love that is unconditional. One mother, thinking about her children and the journey that they had taken together, wrote this: "I never really ever looked at my children. When I looked at their mouth, I saw dirt. When I looked at their nose, I saw it running. When I looked at their eyes, I saw them open when I wanted them to be closed in sleep. When I looked at their hair, it needed combing or cutting. I never really looked at the whole face of one of my children without offering some advice. For 20 years, I invited myself into their lives. I put sweaters on them when I was cold. I removed the blankets from their bed when I was hot. I fed them often when I was hungry. Put them on diets when I was fat. Carpool them when I thought the distance was too far for me to walk. Then I told them they took a lot of my time. I never realized that I dedicated my life with my children to yellow wax buildup in their ears and ring around the collar. And then I realized that cleanliness is not next to godliness, but children are." Now, I suspect that parent was being too hard on herself, but friends, there is something there to think about. Love your children. Give them the gift of your love today in an unconditional fashion. And then thirdly, in addition to the gift of loving their mother and loving them unconditionally, I would suggest that you dads show them that you love God with all your heart, with all of your hearts. Our lesson of the morning shows us that God is ready, willing, and able, and open to our being close to him. "I no longer call you slaves or servants. I now call you my friends. Faith is taught in the home, modeled in the home. As someone has said, it is more caught than taught. If you live long enough, you will see your children, you will see one day the reflection of your faith and what you modeled in the life of your children. Ann Weems, a very gifted writer. I have not met her, but I intend to do so. In fact, I have invited her to come and speak to some occasion here. Her father was a distinguished Presbyterian minister. He served a church in Nashville, Tennessee during the late 40s and early 50s. And he preached a sermon one Sunday on brotherly love. And that was in a day and age when brotherly love was not practiced a whole lot in the South or in other places in the nation for that matter. His session gathered after the service and instructed him never to preach on that subject again. Ann Weems' father responded to the instructions of the session with these words, and I quote, "If this was brotherly advice, I will receive it with gratitude. If it was to instruct me on what to preach, I cannot and will not accept it. For only God and God alone will tell me what to preach." Eventually, both his session and the Board of Deacons felt that he should resign. A crisis was precipitated in that church. The congregation called a congregational meeting and overwhelmingly supported the pastor, saying they wanted a pastor who got his instructions from God. The higher courts of the Presbyterian Church upheld the position of the pastor and the congregation. Then and only then, when the principle of a free pulpit had been maintained in that church, did Dr. Weems resign. Years later, Ann Weems writes about this defining moment in her life. She wrote about her father. Listen. "He spoke out when others kept quiet. He stood up when others would have run. He risked and lost position, monetary gain, and prestige when others would have rationalized. It was not that he was courageous, but simply that he was faithful." Faithful to what? To whom? To God. Ann Weems knew that her father loved her, but now she had seen plainly how much he loved God. He was faithful. Listen, dads, just man to man now. Do your children have a clue about how you feel about God? We give thanks, our Father, for these moments together. We ask your blessings upon us now as we go forth on Father's Day to love the mothers of our children, to love our children unconditionally, and to show deeply and completely how much we love God. In Jesus' name, amen.